interact right now. Text 960-960 to sound off. Sportsnet 960 Mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. Make Canada's best-selling line of trucks even better by visiting Universal Ford Lincoln to get $1,000 toward Ford custom accessories at the Built Ford Tough event. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
906 on your radio. Wednesday morning, Pinder in for Boomer. As we are cruising towards 10 o'clock, a reminder tonight on the mighty Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We got your Penguins and Blue Jackets from Columbus. Nearly the first ever home win in franchise history for CBJ. Two nights ago, they choked a 3-1 lead away in the third period, allowing three goals in 2 minutes and 13 seconds. But they're young. They're too dumb to even think about the past. They're going to come out, bust their tails again in front of that rabid crowd in Columbus, Ohio. We'll see if they can even that series up, or if the Penguins will go home 3-1 with a decisive edge in play. That one, 5 o'clock, we'll grab it right here on Sportsnet 960. The Fan, I believe Steinberg in an hour earlier today at 1 o'clock following Hockey Central at noon. And the other two games tonight, of course, Anaheim at Dallas, where the Stars will look to square off that series in Big D. They got their first win on home ice in the playoffs since 2008, two nights ago. And St. Louis, Chicago, they resume that bloodbath of a series at the United Center. No word on David Backes. We do know that Brent Seabrook will be serving game two of that three-game suspension handed down by the NHL. Coming up in about 20 minutes' time, we will hear from Chris Carter, the Hall of Fame wide receiver who caught, all he does is catch touchdowns. That was the catchphrase that the announcers had for him on the highlight shows. Chris Carter, all he does is catch touchdowns. He caught only three wide receivers in the history of the game caught more than him. He's also fourth in all-time receptions in the NFL. He's coming to Calgary Thursday, May 29th. Tickets now available at 403-253-8600. He is speaking at the Jewish, let me make sure that you're going to get this right here. It is the 25th anniversary of Calgary JCC, their annual sports dinner. Your tickets again, 403-253-8600. That'd be a great guy to listen to. My goodness. Hall of Fame guy, great career post football. A lot of lessons to be learned. He'll be a great guy to hear from. We'll hear from him at 9:20. We had him on earlier this morning. But now we'll switch gears to the AHL playoffs, the Abbotsford Heat. Looks like they have enough bodies for two teams. They've got all those Flames prospects up from the CHL teams that have stopped playing, set to open their playoffs Friday, Saturday on home ice in the Fraser Valley before they head to Grand Rapids for games 3, 4, and 5. It is a best of three. They have the defending Calder Cup champions in Grand Rapids. And we chatted with Troy Ward earlier this morning, asked him how healthy is this hockey team. How are you guys doing? Playoffs begin Friday. You got games 1 and 2 at home before you head to the home of the defending champs, the Calder Cup champions of last year, Grand Rapids. Are you healthy? Are the guys fired up?
Yeah, guys are healthy. We are probably the healthiest we've been probably in almost 3 months. So it's, you know, this is the time of year when you want to be healthy and at your best, and guys are ready to go.
That's awfully exciting because I know in years past, especially at this level, you just never know when you're going to have bodies, and a lot of times you can be left with a lot of your roster missing post-trade deadline, depending on what the club north of you has done on the food chain. How does this group compare to the prior three you've seen in Abbotsford heading into the second season?
Well, I would say this one's probably our most healthiest it's been. I thought a couple of years ago, my first year when we went into the playoffs against Milwaukee in the first round, we were just little nudged up in a few places, and we've had a lot older team at that particular time that had to play with part of those injuries. It's just a long year, as you know, in Abbotsford with travel. And, you know, this year is probably our healthiest of the 3 years that, you know, we've been here, and probably our youngest, so it's probably also our hungriest.
That's fair to say. That's pretty. When I look at this roster, the one thing I noticed, the major change from the 2 years that I had the pleasure of working with you there, the leadership core is entirely different. There's no Ben Walter. Quentin Lang is gone. You're not a team that is laden with quad A, AHL, longtime guys. Who has comprised this leadership core? And when something needs to be said, who's the guy in the room that stands up and addresses it?
Well, we've had two different leadership cores kind of emerge. We had, obviously, just Dean Arcini here the first part of the year. He was the only vet we had almost until January. Occasionally, Derek Smith had dropped down and Blair Jones by vet status, but really had never been here long enough to sink their teeth in any leadership. So it was pretty much by young committee. It was Dean Arcini and it was Ben Street a little bit, Chad Billens and Carter Banks, which was a good flavor because, you know, at this level, as you know, one of the critical components for leadership is somebody that is young enough that understands, maybe if you want to use the word new millenniums, but not too old where they're kind of out of touch. Like, it's really funny, but a 32-year-old to a 35-year-old at this level is out of touch with a 20-year-old. Like, they're not in the same, really, the boat. And this year, I think Carter Banks was kind of the bridge that kind of kept things going here all year because he was the younger guy. Chad Billens was a leader, younger guy. Only in his second year, played last year with Grand Rapids, and Ben Street obviously added some things. And Dean kind of carried the weight as far as organizing the group, kind of the grandfather of the group, and keeping them on board. And then as it's emerged, Ryan, like now you've got guys like Shane O'Brien, you've got Derek Smith here, Corey Locke came here by way of trade, and Trevor Gillies came in. So, you know, it's kind of like we got a little bit of everything here. We got some older, we got some younger, and really it's still been the core group, though, of Billens, Street, Banks, and Arcini have been the main leaders of the team.
And you've also got about 10,062 black aces with you right now, as all the Flames prospects that are done, either their collegiate or CHL seasons, have joined you. What's that been like? It's almost like you've got two separate teams. You've got your A squad, and then when they're done, you got to get the Bs, get their work in, and get them acclimatized to the pro environment.
Yeah, we've got Kanzig here, Roy here. You know, we got Coda Gordon here. Patrick Seeloff is back skating now. You know, Klimchuk is here. Ryan Culkin is here. You know, we've got a lot of young kids. Kulak is here. Poirier is here. So, you know, we've got a group today that'll skate at 8 o'clock. There'll be about 9 black aces, and then we'll have about 22 in the regular group today. So, roughly, we've got about 31 to 32 players here right now that are kind of going through the paces, and it's been good. It's good to have those kids around.
And I wonder how you approached last weekend, because you knew you were in the playoffs. The seeding was still up in the air, but you were going to be the low-numbered team in the matchup no matter where you finished there. Yep. And so you put some young kids in. When you see Emile Poirier put up the kind of numbers he did over the weekend, do you think about putting them in, or is it more about the vets that have been there all season rather than rolling the dice with a guy who might not be super comfy with the systems?
No, I think it's still really about development. You know, to be honest with you, Ryan, we just got to develop hockey players. And, you know, that development is in within the food chain of the company. And Poirier and Kulak and the Klimchuks of the world, they're all obviously future guys that we want to get ready for. Obviously, just training camp next year with Bob Hartley and his staff. And, you know, so we're going to give them as much exposure as we can. And to play any of those guys in any one of these games is something that our goal is. And if they're better or we feel that they can contribute more at this particular time, then obviously some of the guys have been here all year. Those are decisions we'll make come Friday. But I look to get those kids in just as I did last weekend. Poirier got 2 or 3 games in. Klimchuk got 2 or 3 games in. Kulak got 2 or 3 games in. You know, we're getting these guys in as much as we can right now, and I think that's important for our franchise.
I think when all is said and done, we'll look back at the 2013 draft class and say, wow, what a fantastic group of players spread out around the NHL. We see Nathan MacKinnon with a dominant rookie season. It looks like he's a slam dunk for the Calder Trophy. Seth Jones is a guy that played some big minutes in Nashville at the 4th overall slot. Barkov played a huge role in Florida. Sean Monahan had a fantastic year here in Calgary. Nichushkin still going in the playoffs with Dallas. And we're all curious what Poirier and Klimchuk might be, because they're also from that 2013 first round. What have you seen from those two in particular?
Well, Emile Poirier, first of all, just came last week. He joined us in San Antonio, flew in separate from the team, but got there after his major junior year was completed. And, you know, he watched the first game, kind of, you know, did some teaching with the staff for about a day and a half and got himself ready. Got in 2 games, obviously got some points. You know, the one thing that that Poirier brings to the table is just he's got like almost Pavel Bure, like kind of a 1.5 step, and he's at full speed, like he's gone, and he's super, super fast. He allows himself a lot of time and space on the ice. He has great vision, obviously, has good hands, and he puts his nose in there. Like he's not afraid to go to dirty areas and score goals. And here's a guy that you probably would project out at some point in time will be able to get, you know, for sure in the 20s, if not in the 30s, in goals in the NHL. Like, he's that gifted as a skater, and he's got great vision. So good days ahead for Emil. You know, I was real happy with his first weekend, and we look to kind of get him in there this weekend here against Grand Rapids. And Klimchuk's played a little bit more. His year was done in Regina a little quicker, and I think he's got maybe like 6 games in. He's gotten a point, and Klimmer showed a lot of promise too. He's a good 200-foot player, gets up and down the rink, understands his role in all 3 zones. I don't know if he has any huge upside like Poirier in terms of speed at this particular time. I just think he has a lot of great areas. Like, he's really good in a lot of good areas. So his ice balance is tremendous for a young kid of his stature right now.
And the interesting thing about Poirier, I believe because of his birthday, this is a guy that's eligible to be with you on a full-time basis next year, which means if he plays well, he might not be far off that Calgary roster. Is that a guy you're looking forward to maybe seeing a bunch of in the next calendar year?
No, it certainly is. Like, he's obviously, I mean, just through one weekend, he's made a pretty good push. And, you know, there's, as you know, traveling and being around this level, there's 2 different sides to you as an AHL player. Like, number one, can you just fit in on the ice and make the plays that are necessary to help yourself and help the team? And number two, do you fit in socially and mentally at this age? Because sometimes it doesn't seem like a big step from major junior to the AHL, but you and I both know that's a huge step as just a man. And sometimes it takes kids a little bit longer. But so far, so good for Emil. Like, he looks like he has a lot of maturity to him, and he understands how to get through the paces of the game so far, and seems to be fitting in well. So you look forward to him continuing to grow through the game at a rapid pace.
Tell us a bit about Grand Rapids, the team that you draw in the first round. Jeff Blashill is a guy that everyone speaks very highly of, who has crossed paths with him at the head coach position. A lot of the guys we saw star in Grand Rapids in the last couple of years were on the ice in the Joe Louis Arena last night with the Wings, in terms of a guy like Brendan Smith, Tomas Tatar, Joachim Anderson was even up, Gustav Nyquist. What's left in Grand Rapids?
Well, good group. I mean, it's just a good group. I mean, they've got some good veteran defensemen there, and Evans, and they've got Page and some different guys like that. They've got Jordan Tutu up front. You know, they've got some other really skilled players that are there, still there. You know, you got Emerton and certain guys that have been up as well this year. So, and they're defending champs, so they understand how to win. You know, so they're a very dangerous team. Obviously, you might as well get the best of the best right away if you have a choice. It's kind of like maybe the Boston-Detroit series a little bit in a way, or the Chicago-St. Louis series. Like, you'd rather get after a really good team if you can right away and get going. And, you know, we feel good about the matchup. I think we're 1-2-0-1 against them during the year. Although this team that we'll put on the ice Friday would be by far our healthiest and our best team in the 4 games that we played them this particular year. You know, we're anxious to kind of get going, but we have a lot of respect for them, and I think equally they have the respect for us. But one thing that, Ryan, that just stands out about the organization is that you've got 3 different eras of, you know, you got the Yzerman, and then they hand it off to Lidstrom, and then it's handed off to kind of Datsyuk, Zetterberg. And the one thing about this organization is their players learn really well from players that are in the organization. And I think that separates the organization in a lot of ways. That's why they're so good, and they understand work ethic, and they get to see this firsthand from the players. It's, you know, kind of what we want in Calgary through Gio and certain players up there. Like, they just learn that way, and when you pass that torch along, it makes your organization really powerful, and I think that's the kind of the caveat that they have going for a lot of their players in Grand Rapids and why they do so well.
Yeah, it seems like you have to own property in Grand Rapids before you're a good Red Wing, but you learn a lot along the way, it seems.
Yes.
Talk to me just real quickly about this format, because for a lot of hockey fans in Calgary, we're always interested in how the Flames prospects are doing, and it'd be lovely to see them go on a big run here in your final year in Abbotsford. But it's a 2-3. It's a best of 5. The first 2 will be in Abbotsford, and then it closes out in Grand Rapids. What does this kind of series feel like as compared to a traditional back-and-forth best of 7?
Well, you just, you know, we did this a couple of years ago, obviously, against Milwaukee. We did the same thing. You know, it is what it is. You kind of get used to it. It's almost like you're numb versus the old, like, you play home and then you go away, or you play 2-2 and then 1, you go back. A lot of it just has to do with budget and travel at this level and different places. There are some divisions, you know, some series that'll start tonight within the American Hockey League because of proximity. There's a different revenue sharing relative to, like, Wilkes-Barre's playing in Binghamton. Well, they really don't go up there the night before because of the travel and how close it is. The league doesn't subsidize that. So every situation's a little bit different, but, you know, the home team has the advantage. Like, they can pick whether they want to play two on the road and then go home for three, or if they want to start at home and then go back and forth. And there's just a lot of logistics involved, and we just kind of battle through that.
Thanks so much for your time, Troy. I really appreciate it. One final question for you. Have you caught all? I know how hard you're going to be working here to prepare for the series, but have you snuck off and watched a little NHL playoff hockey over the past week and a half?
Oh, yeah. It's right on over my shoulder all day and all night here at the office, and just kind of take my peeks at it. Obviously, it's really good hockey right now, and just an entertaining. It's just, if you're a hockey freak, this is the time of year you want to be involved in life. And got TVs going and computers going and radios going. Everything's going here in the office, so it's a great time of year. The only downside is our Flames aren't playing, but things are, you know, up and moving and going in the right direction with Bob and his staff, and I think all the players up there, and hopefully we can continue just to develop and contribute to their success.
Well, we hope you have a long run, and we'll check in with you as your postseason progresses. Thanks for your time, Coach.
All right, you're welcome.
That is head coach of the Abbotsford Heat, Troy G. Ward, as they are set for the Grand Rapids Griffins in the first round games 1 and 2 in Abbey Friday, Saturday. All right, that was the head coach of the Heat, Troy Ward. Friday, Saturday in Abbey, and then the final three, if necessary, in Grand Rapids, best of five. A couple of highlights, if you just caught that one late. Of note, Patrick Seeloff skating with the team. That is great news. A season almost entirely lost due to a hip infection. He played 2 games in the regular season in Abbotsford before heading home and essentially losing the bulk of the year, just recovering from that injury. First getting rid of the infection and then getting back up to speed. I don't know how close he is returning to game. But skating with the team, that is great news for him. Elsewhere, nothing but praise for Emil Poirier, who had a strong showing in his first 2 pro games. Last year's 2nd of 3 first-round picks for the Flames, showing very well. And Troy, awfully complimentary of not only his skating, but the kind of opportunity he'll get to play moving forward in the postseason. Both immensely positive notes there. Just breaking, while that interview was going on, we've got your Calder finalist announced. Tyler Johnson and Andre Palat of Tampa Bay, as well as Nathan MacKinnon, are your 3 finalists for the Calder Memorial Trophy. We will come back with Chris Carter, but you can react to that. Are you mad Sean Monahan's not a finalist? Was there a snub elsewhere in terms of maybe a Barkov or a Nichushkin, maybe Seth Jones, or anywhere you want? Because it's 940, you take the wheel. It's what you want to talk about. But next, Hall of Famer from the NFL and father of a rising star in the CFL, Chris Carter on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Talking sports in the morning. Sportsnet 960 Mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. Make Canada's best-selling line of trucks even better by visiting Universal Ford Lincoln to get $1,000 toward Ford custom accessories at the Built Ford Tough event. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Joined on the Subway Restaurants Fresh Take Hotline, one of the greatest wide receivers ever to play in the NFL. He is number 4 in all-time receptions and all-time touchdowns receiving. Chris Carter. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How you doing?
We're fantastic. What a pleasure to chat with you. We've caught wind that you're coming to town. You're going to be speaking at the Jewish Community Center later in May. What the heck's going on in Calgary? Have you been up here before?
Never been up there before. Do like Canada. I do have my son that's playing for the Alouettes. So I have been to a number of places in Canada. And this will be my first time to Calgary. Just coming there on behalf of an organization, telling my story, how athletics and how it's ventured off into business. And, you know, some of the principles I believe that you have to are very, very important to being successful, not only on the field, but off the field.
Certainly no lack of success in your career. The footnote's phenomenal on your career. 2013 inductee to the Football Hall of Fame. And when I think of you and when I heard you were coming, I could think of nothing else but dragging toes in the corner of the end zone, catching touchdown passes in Minnesota. Is that sort of what you get asked about the most when you're spotted around public?
That's one of the things that people like, either the sideline catches, the touchdown catches, or the one-handed catches. Those are the things that people, but they're just like anything else. They're just fundamentals And I did have a great gift to catch the ball and an unbelievable inner sense of how wide, how much I had to dive, how much room I had. So I tried to take advantage of it once I realized that I had that.
We're chatting with Chris Carter, who's going to be in Calgary at the Jewish Community Center on May 29th. You can get more information online at calgaryjcc.com/sports-dinner. Chris, tell us about that offense you had in Minnesota at the Metrodome with Randy Moss coming up and what you saw in a youngster that was taken very late in the first round due to some questions about maybe some off-the-field antics or maybe focus on the game.
Well, I think it's a lot with the anticipation of Jadeveon Clowney coming to the NFL, too. Some of the things people were saying that he can't do, that he took some plays off. I think Randy, had that stigma, and even greater, because he had been in several schools before he arrived in the NFL, finally from Marshall. But, put in the right environment, and he was a hard worker. You really couldn't see it. He was always trying to... And showing him how to be a pro. So, that was one of the exciting things about 98, was working with Randy Moss, seeing his talent come to fruition, then him become one of the greatest receivers of all time. And, not to mention, we had three offensive linemen that were Pro Bowlers. We had Robert Smith that was a Pro Bowl running back at that time, very, very explosive. We could score from anywhere on the field. And then also we had another receiver named Jake Reed. Him and I had several thousand-yard seasons back-to-back-to-back-to-back before Randy Moss came to Minnesota. So it was a lot of good things coming together at one time.
And I remember that coming to an end, I believe it was against Atlanta in the NFC Championship game, and was it Morton Anderson who hadn't, or Gary Anderson who hadn't missed a kick all year, and all of a sudden, what, he missed?
Yeah, he missed a 39-yarder late in the game. That would have put us up by 10. So Atlanta was able to come down, score a late touchdown, game went into overtime. It was an epic game. Unfortunately for the Vikings, we weren't able to win it and go on to the Super Bowl.
So I'm reading on Wikipedia, and Wikipedia, they never lies, right? You're living in Boca Raton. Now, I know you're retired, but I lived in Boca Raton when I played for the Florida Panthers. That is old. What? You're not that old. What are you doing hanging out there?
Well, I've actually lived in the same house I'm sitting in right now. For 22 years, and this is where I came to get my life together. This is where I came to work out silently, and this is where I built all the things about my life. I did it right here in Boca. It's nice and quiet. It's a good place to raise a family. You don't hear a lot of bad news about professional athletes and everything. So sometimes athletes, instead of looking for all the limelight, they need to find a nice little place where they can call home. And I call that home to be Boca Raton. So I don't think it's old. I think it's very vibrant. I live here, so I think that when you visit, and I think people get a different vibe about Boca. But Boca is very different. Great community, glad to be a part of it, and plan to be a part of it until Jesus calls me home.
Hey, have you ever been to the Whale's Rib in Pompano Beach?
No. I am very familiar with that area, though, and I have seen the restaurant.
Because a lot of the guys, when I played for the Panthers, we lived in that area, so we used to go down there to hang around the beach and play beach volleyball and stuff. That's where we'd grab a bite to eat. Played in Philly, Minnesota, obviously kind of a little bit in Miami. When I played, Philly was such a great sports town. Your career was more highlighted in Minnesota, but what are your thoughts on the different cities? Did you like playing in Philly? Was Minnesota a better place for you?
Well, it's there's no comparison. I spent most of my career, 12 years in Minnesota. And, when you evolve as a football player and you develop great relationships inside the organization, Philadelphia did give me my chance with Buddy Ryan drafting me out of Ohio State. So you always have a fondness to them, but the business side of things take you in different directions. So, all the love that I have for the football fans mostly is directed towards the Minnesota Vikings fans and the 12 years that I've spent playing for them.
Chris, just a thought on your son who's playing in the CFL. It didn't come in with a lot of acclaim, but boy, he put together a really fantastic 2013 season last year with the Alouettes, and I wonder how much you get to catch him on the tube.
I see every game. I've probably been to Canada to 4 or 5 games last year, you know, a couple preseason games. So, you know, I see him quite often. So, you know, we're excited about him. We're excited that he's had a great offseason. Just finished up a mini camp with the team in Vero Beach. The team's excited. They're really talented. They got a great receiving core. Troy Smith's going to be their quarterback. New coaching staff. Just signed Chad Johnson, too, last week. So, you know, there's a lot of exciting things going on in Montreal. So I look for a big season from Roland. Be surprising, though.
It's pretty neat. I mean, if you think about that offense you were in 1998 with Moss and you mentioned Robert Smith and the other Pro Bowlers, that's probably as close as you'd get to a CFL-style game because the points just keep going up in this thing with three downs. You got to throw it more, and the clock just doesn't stop. What's your take on the three-down game?
The three-down game is good. I like it. It's easy to follow. A lot of the rules are very, very similar to American football, so it's not a tremendous learning curve. You got to learn the waggles as far as the receivers, and they play some different coverages because, you know, they really try to put a lot of pressure on the quarterback and have an extra guy on the field. And then also with the not necessarily the most elite of arm strength on the quarterbacks, you know, a lot of the field is negated. Because the quarterback can't get the ball to the field, to the open side of the field. So you see defenses try to take away the middle and the boundary side a lot in the CFL compared to an NFL. You know, they have 20 quarterbacks that can throw the ball from sideline to sideline. That's probably the biggest difference.
Just a thought, we're chatting with Chris Carter, the Hall of Famer and one of the most prolific wide receivers in NFL history. The transition in your playing career, you went and you had one last sort of swan song in Miami. That point of your career, you start thinking about maybe what you're going to do when you're not catching balls for a living. You've looked fantastic as an analyst on TV, done a great job there. How tough or how different is that part of your life as a pro athlete where you start phasing out of playing a sport and into being a businessman?
Well, it depends on the athlete. It depends on their interest. It also depends on money. You know, financially, you know, I try to tell guys that there's only less than 5% of the athletic population that when they get done, they have enough money that they can retire. Now, a lot of guys talk a lot of big talk, and they try to act like they have a lot of money, but the reality of it is they're going to have to really get another profession. And the group that I work with, Impact Sports, they have prepared me. I had done radio shows. I had done voiceovers. I have gone over to NFL Europe to broadcast. I had volunteered on my bye week to go into ESPN, to work with HBO at the Super Bowls. I volunteered. I did my own radio shows. I had a voice coach. So I had a lot of things that, you know, the reason why I quit playing wasn't because I couldn't play. It's because I had an unbelievable job with HBO they offered me. And I could see my broadcasting career taking off, and they signed me to a long-term contract. So, you know, I was prepared for it. So it depends on the player, and I don't really think it's fair that an athlete should be prepared for a second career when he's already the elite of the elite. I don't care what sport he makes it to professionally. And we've asked him to master a sport, and then now we ask him to make this quick transition. So I think some of the things I anticipate a lot of bumps because that's a very tough transition for people to make.
Working with ESPN on that desk, what's that like? Because everyone tunes in Sunday morning. We watch the shows. We see you guys between the games at halftime. But that's a one-take, hot environment where you've got to be on your toes. I wonder if you draw on your playing background, because that's not a normal workplace either. It's not as if you've gone from being a football player to an accountant.
No, it's tremendous, but we have great people to work around. We have great resources. We have access to great information. And we have people that really take a lot of pride in what they do. You know, not only what they wear, but how they look, what they're going to sound like. So, you know, our sessions, we try to make them live. Now, we will know the question, but we try not to know the content of what the other people are going to say because we don't want to take away the natural reaction. You know, so we know the subject and we know how long we can talk about it and we might know who's going to start it, but it's really natural. It's really like 4 or 5 guys sitting around a bar, man. And we know the control of the segment being the time and we know we got to get it back to boom, you know, for him to say something and toss to the next segment or go to a commercial. So, you know, that side of the structure, you have to know. It's just like any other job. And then now you got teammates you're trying to work with, and it, you know, in this business, it doesn't do anything good to make your teammates look bad. So you have to be conscious of their strengths and their weaknesses, so when you do have the ball and you give it to them, that they can do something with it. So I think that's why we have one of the premier shows. That's the kind of things that we think about. But it's pretty much like the first time you hear it is the first time that we've said.
It's pretty cool. We really appreciate you sharing some time with us this morning, Chris. We can't wait till you're in town. Thursday, May 29th, again at the Jewish Community Center. Tickets available now, 403-253-8600, extension 0. We hope you enjoy Calgary, and take a look at that CFL schedule. Maybe you come back when your son passes through with the Owls, because it's a great atmosphere.
I might have to do that.
Thanks so much for your time today.
All right, take care, guys.
That is the 2013 inductee of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Chris Carter. What a dynamic offense that was in 98. A rookie Randy Moss stretching the defenses. Chris Carter catching those lobs into the corner of the end zone. Just a remarkable, remarkable career. And he's translated that into all kinds of success as an analyst. And he'll be talking about it again here in Calgary on May 29th at... here in town, so isn't that exciting? We've gave you the phone numbers, the website. You can obviously find more information online. We'll have that interview posted later today if it has not been already done. So your turn at the wheel is next. We will quickly take a look at the news of the day in the world of sports. Tee up three NHL games tonight. All game fours, which are big games. Are you tied 2-2 or is it 3-1? It's a huge difference. So big games tonight, three of them on the Stanley Cup playoff slate. Also, we'll touch some baseball, which we have not done, and some hardware given out, as well as some nominees announced for some NHL awards, and maybe a WHL update, as we saw a pair of Game 3s last night between the Eastern Conference and Western Conference finals. That's all ahead on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Talking sports in the morning. Sportsnet 960 Mornings brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. Make Canada's best-selling line of trucks even better by visiting Universal Ford Lincoln to get $1,000 toward Ford custom accessories at the Built Ford Tough event. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
9:45 Wednesday morning. Your time at the wheel very soon here, as it is what you want to talk about around the corner. But first, let's take a look at what's making news around the world of sports. First off, want to remind you, not a lot of time left in our contest to head on the Sportsnet jet to Vancouver, British Columbia, to watch the Grey Cup in the fall. Courtesy of our friends at Vision Travel, airfare, three nights in Vancouver, airport transfers by private motor coach. That is the coach, not with the horses, but with the motor. Three nights in a hotel, as well as tickets on the sidelines. That's going to be a fantastic weekend. Fan club members, enter to win now. Or you can book your own seat. Check out more at sportsnet.ca/960 for all the details. At Vision Travel, they specialize in extraordinary sporting experiences, including the 2014 Grey Cup in Vancouver on November 30th. And yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. Boomer and Rat are going, and I'll be stuck here. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. Wouldn't that be fun if the Riders or the Stamps were there? I know the city's not quite half and half, but if one of those two teams is in the West, that'll be a blast. You know, the Lions fans will sell their tickets anyway. Softies out west. Three games in the NHL tonight. Let us look at those very quickly. Pittsburgh at Columbus. That is a game four. Pittsburgh leads away 2-1. Anaheim and Dallas on ice as well tonight. That is game number four. The second in Dallas. Stars looking to even up that series at a game apiece. Both of those earlier starts. You've got the 5 o'clock in Columbus, 6 o'clock in Dallas. And at 7:30, wow, a late start in Chicago. As the Blackhawks look to even terms with the Blues at United Center, no Brent Seabrook, still no word on David Backes. Think you got the winners for those tonight? You think so? Check out our playoff payoff, Sportsnet 960's postseason pool. Make your picks before all the games tonight to win cold, hard cash. You can walk away with $500. Doesn't matter if you haven't even started yet. There's lots of games left. Every day before the games, get online. Put your picks in, and also anyone that participates will be entered to win tickets for the Flames home opener next season, which should be a whole bunch of fun. For more information, sportsnet.ca/960/contests. Some Major League Baseball news for you. Blue Jays win yesterday. 9 runs on 3 hits. Each of the 3, a 3-run home run. First it was Edwin Encarnacion finally walking the parrot for the first time all year. Then Brett Laurie and then Melky Cabrera. Each 3-run blasts. They win game 2 of their 3-game set with Baltimore. Goes tonight. You can catch this one on, of course, Sportsnet West. It is Dustin McGowan, 1-1, up against Chris Tillman, who's had a pretty strong start to the season. His ERA under 2. NBA notes, Coach of the Year goes to Greg Popovich of the Spurs. A new building on the way for the Golden State Warriors. They're going to be close to the Giants ballpark in the Mission area, Mission Bay of San Francisco. Nice part of town. At least to go out and have a beer and watch sports, maybe not to hang around at night outside. And in the WHL, it was a 4-3 win for the Portland Winterhawks as they rallied at home to take game 3. They lead Kelowna 2-1. And the Tigers beat Edmonton in game 3 in Medicine Hat. Oil Kings still lead that series 2-1. But right now is the time where we let you and then we respond with Okay, so here's how it works. 960-960 on your cellular phone. If you have one of those rotary phones, it's not for you. You have to have a mobile phone. Your texts show up on a computer screen in front of me. I read them. You're in charge. From the text line, here we go. Wonder what Rhett's take is on Wakey Wakey. We talked about this yesterday. Duncan Keith overheard saying Wakey Wakey to Backus. And what was the thought? Well, this is a 7-game series. Things get nasty. Intimidation is a part of it. I think Rhett Boomer and myself all agreed nastier things have been said in rec league hockey in Calgary this year than it's just there's no mics and it's not broadcast across North America on TV. So a whole lot of nothing to see, nothing to look at here and from the perspective of Rhett as well as Boomer and myself. Hey, Pinder, have you applied to be the new play-by-play guy for Flames? No, I have not. Hey, guys, what happened to Hockey Night in Canada song? Do you think Sportsnet will purchase the song for next season? Good question. TSN has it. They bought it for a couple million bucks, I believe, but they have no NHL hockey, at least nationally, for the next dozen years. So they're going to keep it just for some regional broadcasts? And is it that good that you'd spend millions of dollars on it? I don't know the answer to either. Any rumors on the Flames GM? I have no idea. It's been very quiet. It really sounds like Brian Burke is planning on being the GM through the draft, at which he'll go hire a guy from an organization post-draft, because clearly at this point, if you're an assistant GM of a very successful team, you know exactly what their draft board looks like at this juncture. So you probably wouldn't want to let your assistant GM go interview with Calgary if he knows how you're going to approach the draft. But hey, after we get through that final weekend in June, by all means, go to Calgary, have an interview with Brian Burke. That's my take. Maybe I'm out to lunch. Hi, boys. Would you keep Quick in goal for game 4? Absolutely. When he's on, he's one of the best in the game. He hasn't been awful, but he certainly hasn't looked like Jonathan Quick. Let's be honest. As good as Martin Jones has been, it's not exactly a resume or career that compares to Quick's yet, if ever. Pinder, can you have an Edmontonian on the show? I'd like to see you ask him why he's living in Sweatpant Nation and hear him get offended. We could do that. We could call Edmonton. Maybe we'll do that 4 or 5 years. When the Oilers get out of the draft lottery, we'll have someone on from Edmonton, see how good they're feeling. Catch them on an up day. What's up with Jankowski? Providence was eliminated in the first round of the Final 16, that Frozen Four tournament. I believe they lost to Union, actually, who won it all. I could be off there. Thought that was right. Had a decent season. Again, this is a long-term project. Don't expect this guy to jump to the pros anytime soon. He needs at least a junior year, maybe a senior year, and at that point there may be AHL seasoning needed. He's a big guy. They project to play at around 210 to 215, and he's still a 190. He was 175 pounds when they drafted him. This is a long-term project. Tough to grade how he's going to be at this point. You don't know. What you do know is the Flames assumed a lot of risk when they took that pick at the place they did. Or at least they're going to have to be patient at a minimum. I want to talk about the upcoming Cricket World Cup. That's great. Don't do it here. I want to talk about Iginla. Love watching him in the playoffs. This is going to be interesting, and I don't think we're there yet. But I get the sense the longer Boston goes into the postseason, the fewer the teams, the greater the spotlight on the 8, the 4, the 2 remaining. If Boston's there, this will become the Ray Bourque and Colorado thing. I do believe that. Because Jerome has not won a cup. We know that. He is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He has won Olympic gold. He won gold at World Juniors, I believe. He has carried a team that had no business going to the final, offensively, to the final. Now, they had Mika and there's some other good players on that team, but there's no way they do it without Jerome. And I still believe his 52 goals in, what, 2000, 2001? So much better than anyone who was near him, and that was one of the toughest seasons ever to put up goals. If you adjust for inflation and the scoring trends by year, like that sort of math equation, that 52 in that season would look like 60-plus or even 70, depending what year you're comparing to, be it the 80s or even now. That was a phenomenal year. So there'll be a whole lot of Ginla cheerleading should the Bruins get to the Eastern Finals or beyond. More upside. Agostino or Hanowski, Poirier or Klimchuk? I will take Agostino. Not that I think either are going to be long-term NHLers. They both could have careers in the NHL. But the second question is probably more legitimate. And I'll take Poirier. Troy Ward raving about his first step and a half as a skater. He's not shy. Going to the hard areas. He's old enough to play pro hockey next year. And Klimchuk's going to be a good player, too. They might find three guys in your Flames lineup in a couple of years from that first round of 2013. There's a red light camera on Barlow. Great, thank you. That's actually close to my work. I'll pay attention to that. Kelowna is already out of the playoffs. I think you mean Medicine Hat. No, Kelowna's playing Portland in the Western Final, I believe. Am I that crazy? I couldn't have got that wrong. They're playing Portland in the West, and in the East, you have Edmonton against Medicine Hat. So again, Portland defeated Kelowna last night 4-3. They take a 2-1 series lead. Last night, Medicine Hat wins. They're down 2-1 to the Old Kings. Sorry, buddy. You're wrong. Why did Ron McLean apologize last night? Didn't see it. No idea. Is Michelle Wee single? I have no idea. And she's not moving to Calgary, boys. Don't think so. When you grow up in Hawaii, probably don't move to Calgary. Kind of gets used to fantastic weather. Elsewhere, I've got a Rhett signed stick from a game he actually scored. Because it's so rare, should I give it back to him for a keepsake? It's a good question. I don't know. Do you think Rhett even cares about a stick he scored a goal with? If it's so rare, why wouldn't you try to sell it? I mean, hey, if you can get a new iPad for a Lance 17 puck, imagine how much you could get putting a Rhett Warner twine-tingling stick on eBay. Thoughts on the refs in the Raptors-Nets series, especially regarding comments about favoritism and calls going on one team more than the other. A lot of that talk after Game 1, not any of it after Game 2. A lot of people that were looking for that storyline even said, nothing to see here. The officiating has been fair on both sides in the sense that there's been bad calls both ways, there's been good calls both ways, etc. Pinder, your thoughts on Calgary returning Westgraf? I think you mean Westgarth, the forward for the Flames. McGrattan's got one more year, Westgarth does not. I'm not entirely keen on having two of those guys on a roster at the NHL level, especially when you've got some other guys that can be physical, that might make the team. Boma will. Maybe Ferland takes a step. Ladislav Schmid gives them toughness where they didn't have it last year. Maybe you add another guy that can play and contribute at even strength, have good possession numbers and is tough, but maybe not a super heavyweight. But that said, Brian Burke likes to roll with a pair of guys. Colton Orr, Jay Rosehill, those sorts of guys, Fraser McLaren in Toronto. He always had a couple tough guys. I wouldn't do it, but I'm not a GM in the NHL. So my opinion doesn't really matter. What is the difference between the Cook knee hit and the LaPierre hit from behind? Is it just the injury factor? Both players are dirty to me. I don't know. They're different. They both do have bad reputations as dirty players. I'd agree with that. And yes, the NHL does react to injury. The same action, the same crime, depending on the outcome of the other player. Some people say it should be the same act gets the same punishment. But let's be honest. If David Backus popped up and finished that shift after the hit from Seabrook, no one would be saying anything about suspension. They'd say, geez, wow, Chicago might have dodged a bullet, but no one, there wouldn't be suspension. It is a factor that the NHL looks at, the injury of the player, whether they want to acknowledge that publicly or not. Pinder, who should the Flames' top free agent signing be this summer? Also, how is Boomer's tummy tuck procedure go? Wish him all the... No, he's sick. He's in bed. Top free agent signing, I don't know. If you could get a big, nasty defender that can play top 4 minutes, that'd be great. Then you could have Schmid Wotherspoon as your, 5-6. Your big guy could play with Russell as your 3-4. And you could have Giordano and Brody 1-2. I would really like the looks of that blue line. I would not bring Chris Butler back necessarily. They just aren't big on the blue line. When Wotherspoon comes up and is your biggest D-man, that tells you you're not huge. Never mind anyone that can play major minutes. Maybe Wotherspoon will turn into that guy, but he's not there yet. Seeloff update. Yes, did you hear this? Troy Ward was on earlier. He's skating with the Heat. It's great news. Kind of a lost season for Seeloff. You feel bad. Flames and he had a long, hard thought about going back to the OHL or making the jump because he was drafted out of the U.S. development program. He was not restricted to play just in the OHL or the CHL at 19 rather than others that are drafted out of that branch. So he could go pro and chose to do so. Unfortunately, hip infection, season lost. It would be nice, wouldn't it, if he could get 10, 15, 20 games in the postseason here. But that said, I don't know how close he is to game shape. We'll have to wait and see if he shows up in the box scores in this first-round matchup with Grand Rapids that opens on Friday. And that is just about it. I forgot about Weidman, yes. Or he's my seventh defenseman. We'll leave it at that.
Talk about.
Talk about.
Talk about.
Thanks for tuning in this morning. We'll do it all again tomorrow. A secret has escaped. We will be catered to food tomorrow. Oh my goodness. It'll be the worst last hour of radio ever. We will have food comas, but we will be giddy for the first 3 hours. A reminder, Columbus-Pittsburgh tonight, 5 o'clock here on the Fan. Steinberg at 1, Hockey Central at noon, 2 hours away right now. It's the Jim Rome Show.
Get the f*** out of here.